A visionary philosopher is one who expresses in feelings where no absolute numbers exist. A visionary philosopher is one who expresses in feelings where no absolute numbers exist. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy here in Campo, California, with the absolute philosopher. A visionary philosopher is one who expresses in feelings where no absolute numbers exist. Now, to say no absolute numbers exist is incorrect, because absolute numbers exist where we do not see them, where we do not know about them. We don't even conceive of many things that exist because we haven't had the imagination to move in that realm. Now, a visionary philosopher is one who expresses in feelings in that same dimension, the dimension where it is unknown, the dimension where it is untried and untrue. No one has really been there. What does a visionary philosopher express? What are the things that he expresses? Are they feelings? We say here they're feelings, but can an absolute philosopher, a visionary philosopher, ever express in feelings? Because what are feelings? Feelings are human emotions. Feelings are human attitudes. So you say to touch hot or cold, or to sense anything, to do anything with the body is human. That's right. That's right. You see, when you are living in your divine awareness, you are living in your divine awareness. And living in your divine awareness, you are living in your divine awareness. And everyone living in their divine awareness lives in their divine awareness. And because they're living in their divine awareness, they are unaware of anything else. So if a divine person, if a person, a visionary philosopher, for instance, or anyone who's really moving into the absolute area of thinking, if he chooses to think he'd like to be warm, he's warm. If he chooses to think he'd like to be cool, he's cool. If he chooses to think his body exists as a sentient experience, something that he can sense, so it does. But if he chooses not to be aware of his body at all, then such is so. Now, don't laugh. Don't laugh. Because I'm telling you. For instance, the Indians on the bottom of South America were living there when the early pioneers were coming around the coast with their ships for the first time. And they would stop on shore and they'd see these Indians living there. And they were living naked, totally naked. And it was like up at the near the North Pole, because the ocean between them and the South Pole was there. That's it. And it was cold. It was cold, cold, cold. Icebergs were floating by and things like that. Well, they would wear a cape of an animal, a skin, but they wouldn't wear it to keep warm. They would wear it merely as a shopping bag, you know. They'd have pockets in it. And they would put in there sticks that they picked up, or fish that they caught, or things that they were doing. And Mama and Dad, as the early ship people saw, would go down to the beach and fish for fish, and walk in that cold, cold water for fish. And the children would play in the cold, cold water while Mama and Daddy were fishing, and thought nothing of the cold. And when Daddy would put on his coat, he'd fill it full of things. The kids were naked, and Mama was naked, and everything else, but they did not feel the cold. Now, why didn't they feel the cold? All right. We look at birds, like penguins. And penguins, you know, penguin, they live in the Antarctic. And penguins, when they have a baby, what do they have? Anybody know?
An egg.
They have an egg. And they hatch this egg. They hold it in front of them. And the egg hatches. I believe that's what it is. And then as the baby is born, Papa keeps the baby under his wings in front of him. He lets his fat flop down over the baby, keeping the baby warm. Now, Papa keeps the baby off of the ice. But Papa's feet are right there on the ice, and he doesn't have any leather shoes or goulashes or anything else on, but he is perfectly comfortable. His feet are, our feet and our head radiate the most heat from our body. We can be naked and have a hat on and have shoes on, and we should be warm. Well, anyhow, penguins don't have frozen feet. And you look at these birds. They sit all night in the tree, freezing cold night. We're all cozy warm in the house. And they sit there, and they just have their wings around them, and they don't snuggle in. They just, are in it. And they have their fluffy feathers or whatever they have. And this guy here, Rex, golden retriever, 5 months old now, a little over better. What does he do? I look out when I go to the bathroom in the middle of the night or something, and I see him lying on the wet concrete outside on the patio, sleeping. He likes the cold. He likes, of course, it's really not cold. It's only around 40, 50 degrees, but that's pretty cold too. And he has no sensitivity for the cold. And he comes in, I had a wonderful, cozy, snuggly sleep, And then he's in the house. And the house warms up with the heat of the day. And it's up around 90, 95, 100 in the house. And he gets up from his nap, untouched by the heat. Now, how does he do that? His evaporation system is through his tongue. And so he only knows it through his tongue. Leaning over here again. He only knows it through his tongue. Now, how does that work? How does it work that animals can do such things? How does it work that man, like the early Indians on the tip of South America, they did that? And look at all the brush people in Africa, the bush people rather. They live out in the bush. They have no clothing at all. And they see no reason for it. They have no desire for it. Not even cover themselves at all, because they're not ashamed of anything. They're just whatever they are. And they cuddle up at night with themselves. They just sort of get in the fetal position a little bit, go to sleep. In the morning, that's what a cat does. That's what a dog does. That's what everything does when they go to bed at night normally, except for humans who like to stretch out under an electric blanket or something like that. And you see, they have no sensitivity for heat or cold unless they think about it. Now, I personally, when I'm sleeping at night, I oftentimes have my hands away from my body. And if I happen to just casually put my hand on my leg or something, and my leg is cold, I say, oh, how about that? I didn't even know that. I didn't even feel that. My hand was warm because my hand is warm. But then it touch your body, your thigh, your hip or something, and you say, how about that? But then you take the hand away and you're warm again, because that's your little thermostat. Now, you see here, a visionary philosopher is one who expresses in feelings where no absolute numbers exist. There are no absolutes as far as numbers go, because they are eternal. They're everywhere. There are no absolutes as far as the divine is concerned, because it just is. Absolute is merely a framework in which life exists. In fact, our life exists in absolute. But we think it exists in relative. And so we pretend that it's relative. We pretend that we're looking at the birds out here enjoying the hummingbird feeder. And we're not. We are looking out here at our creation, and we look at the birds happily joining together, eating or fighting with each other, whatever is in our consciousness. We look at the birds having a full feeder or having a half-empty feeder or half-full feeder, whatever our consciousness is. Whatever we do, we're the creators. And just like the kid here, Rex, he's 5 months, he lays on the floor, lays on his back, his feet up in the air. He says, I know who I am. I am untouched, and I just bit through my leash, and therefore I'm even more untouched, you know? He says, I hope you don't mind, Dad, you know, but that's just the way it is. That's what I'm meant to do, is to chew through things. And one day, I probably won't do that anymore, but at the moment, I like to do that. Now, I shouldn't say that, but I do say that because I know this helps his teeth come in. That's just part of his physiological activity to keep a happy, normal, healthy body for himself. But as far as the cold and the warmth, that doesn't disturb him. He will jump into ice-cold water and swim around catching a duck that's down or something like that and retrieving him. And he won't feel the cold. He will come back merely because he's supposed to bring the duck back. Or he'll come back because he didn't find anything. He says, throw something else out there. Throw another duck out there, and I'll go chase him. And does he say, hey, that water's cold. I don't want to go back in there. No way. You know, he doesn't even think that. And I have the jacuzzi here, which is 100 degrees, and he leapt into that. And I said, hey, don't do that. That's awfully warm, you know. And in the swimming pool, the jacuzzi, the Swimex, it is only about 94 or 98, something like that. So, no, a little 94. But it's not that cold or that warm. And he swims in there just having a ball. And if he sees his little ducky there, he swims off to the side to get the ducky, and then he goes out the ladder where he climbs out. But you see, this is what we have to come to the realization about. A visionary philosopher is one who expresses in feelings where no absolute numbers exist. We have areas where it's beyond anything that we've ever comprehended. And we have no words to describe it, no words to entail it, no words to give it any positiveness. And so as we do that, what happens? We sometimes are speechless. We sometimes are without words, without the ability to express ourselves. Well, Rex has just come back with a new set of leashes, and he says, you know, I don't mean to say I don't want the leash on. It's just that I was having fun with the other one. Now I'll have fun with this one. And we'll see how many pieces I can make out of this, because it really is quite nice. And with a little shake and a little activity, that maybe will make it come alive. Can you imagine what dogs would do if they were around a lot of snakes? They would take those snakes and they would shake them and they would shake them. And of course, if it's a rattlesnake, it's not too cool. But the other snakes would, just take it and go away as quickly as they could. But think about this for yourself now. You have no feelings, really. Feelings are relative. Feelings are human. And absolute knows nothing of feelings. It knows nothing of sensations. It knows nothing of those things. And it doesn't care. So if you arrive at your ascension level of consciousness and you move into your next dimension of life and you choose to have it be right here, which you can do, anything you want to do. And then, so here you are. Here you are, an ascended consciousness with all these humans. And all these humans turning the air conditioner up and the air conditioner down, turning the heater up and the heater down, driving fast and driving slow, violating the laws and cooperating with the laws. And you look at them and you say, what's the deal here? Why is it that you make rules for yourself and you don't follow them? If that's the case, I just wouldn't make rules, you know. Why make rules that you don't want to follow? Why make rules that limit you and inhibit you? You see, he wouldn't say that, but that's what his actions would be. His actions would be totally without concern for any rules or anything. He would just do what comes naturally. And what would a master do? What would a master in consciousness do about living in a society of humans? Would he violate all the human rules?
No.
Or would he just flow with it and say, okay, no problem. Mm-hmm. And would he have to remind himself at times not to show off?
No.
No. He wouldn't have to remind himself not to show off. In other words, stepping into boiling hot water or into a lava volcano or something like that, you know, and being untouched by it, you know, walking across the volcano.
he always knows what he does.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm just saying, should he do something like that, people would be a little taken aback by it. And a master never does anything to make people unhappy or uptight, to make people feel insecure in themselves or in anything in their world. So remember that now. As you are preparing yourself for the master trail, you're not going to be able to go and do a lot of things that you like to show off, because you don't feel like showing off anymore. Because you know you can do it, and you enjoy it. And if no one sees you do it, so what? If people see you do it, they don't see you. You know, we see a lot of things in this life. We see a lot of activity in this life, and we just discount it. We say, I didn't see that. I didn't see that. I didn't see that car sail over the top of the mountain. You know, I didn't see that. I didn't see those men walking down the trail there looking like they were aliens. You know, I didn't see them. And yet, they're there. Now, why do you have a glimpse of some of these things from time to time? And why is it that you always say they're not there? You have the glimpse because you tune in to your divinity. But you say they're not there because it's easier than trying to explain them to somebody who doesn't regularly see them. Now, people see them far more often than you know, and you see things far more often than you know, because the absolute numbers that are beyond your ken are still there. They still exist, and they're not absolute. They just are relative numbers beyond. Sylvia, what comes after trillion, zillion, billion, quadrillion or some silly word?
Quadrillion.
Quadrillion sounds good.
Right, what comes after that? And what comes after that? And what comes after that? It's a good question, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Now, you see, and what would you do? You'd make it up, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that wrong?
No.
And does everybody make it up?
Yes.
Sure. Where do you think the scientists get these additional numbers that they have to handle, you know?
They make them up.
Yeah. Now, what is happening to our computers? What are they doing now on them? What's the new number?
Trigabytes.
A trigabyte. And who has that? Gateway offers a device to save a thick copy with two trigabytes on it.
Wow.
For $5,000.
Wow.
5,000.
2 trigabyte. And now, that's just brand new.
That's enormous.
And it is great. But you see, Ellen, the moment they have trigabyte, they will have quadrigabytes. And they will go on to the next stage, because they went from the kilobytes to the millibytes, megabytes, to the trigabytes, rather gigabytes, to the trigabytes, to the, you know, on and on. And, but you see, it's now going to go faster, because once they reach in and are able to touch infinity like that, and yet keep track of things. Now, isn't that amazing, that the computers can keep track of things in there, and you say to your computer, I want my file on drinking soda water. And the computer says, sure, you know. Which area of drinking soda water do you want? You want it in California drinking soda water, or you want it in Europe, or what do you want, you know? And do you want it in drinking Coke, or do you want it in drinking other carbonated or non-carbonated drinks? What kind do you want, you know? And you see, you have to know all this stuff to ask the question now. That makes you being demanded to be all the more intelligent in how you handle yourself. But this is why there are no absolute numbers. Numbers cannot be absolute. Absolute means what?
All. Infinite.
Well, no, absolute means all. The all. But the thing is, Ellen,
yep.
If you are the all, can you be any one?
No. Nope.
So you see, the moment you put numbers in absolute, then there are no more numbers. Mm. Not because there's no more numbers, but because you have given them a box. And the box is without walls, without sides, tops, or bottom, or even inside. It is infinite. And You see, those are things that, for us, it's really hard to comprehend. And we want numbers to always have something significant about them. And so, think about the Indians who live on the tip of South America, who went into the ocean not thinking about it at all. Think about the penguins and how they raised their young by holding them against their belly and kept them off of the ice. But then, the minute Daddy would let go of the baby, he would slide away and go dashing off, plunging into the ocean. And Daddy'd have to get him back and say, "You're not yet ready. You know, you're not yet ready to defend yourself. You got to be able to be fast to defend yourself and play with the rest of the kids." But you see, feelings, sensations, numbers, all those things are so human. And we like to think that they're far beyond that. But it's kind of fun, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun to dwell in the consciousness of these things. But an absolute philosopher has no place in malevolence. A visionary philosopher is one who expresses in feelings where no absolute numbers exist. And tomorrow, we will say, religion believes in a God or other absolute, while the philosopher reveals the unexplainable. How about that? So, have a lovely evening, and know that I am with you at all times because I love you, I love you, I love you.
Thank you.
I love you.